Good morning. It's so lovely to be with you once again. Unfortunately, I can't be with you on site. Indeed, you as yet can't be on site. So from Pantiles Baptist Church, from which I do send greetings, I share this message with you this morning. And in your Bibles, I would ask you please to turn to the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth and chapter 2. And we're going to read together the whole chapter. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I have found favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The owner replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Do not go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here. Have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered, and also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man that took notice of you." And then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked for today is Boaz," she said. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, this man is a close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it'll be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the woman of Boaz to glean until the barley and the wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Let's pause. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, which is so rich and so full and nourishes us so completely. And we pray, please, that as we consider it this morning, that you would be with us. And as you did to Ruth, may you fill us, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years ago, my wife Tanya and I were in Maidstone. It was a beautiful day, but all of a sudden it absolutely poured with rain. We needed a refuge, and we saw a shop selling fruit and vegetables that had an awning, and we ran underneath the awning to take refuge. After a few minutes, the owner came out to talk to us. And we didn't get told off, as we had thought, but rather he invited us actually to come into the shop and take refuge. Famously, Augustus Toplady had a similar experience. He was walking in Burlington Coombe in the Mendip Hills when he got caught in a storm. For him, his shelter was a gap in the gorge, and that provided so much safety for him. It gave him that idea of the hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Perhaps with all the ongoing events of 2020, we too need a refuge. A place where we can find safety, security, and indeed God's blessings. And in the little book of Ruth, we are directed to such a place. So please do turn to the book of Ruth, which begins with a famine in Bethlehem. Now that in itself is a contradiction, because the word Bethlehem means house of bread. But the house of bread was empty. It was only the place for Mother Hubbard and her cupboard, because the nation had turned away from God. Naomi and her husband and two sons had gone to Moab. Wasn't the right thing to do for Israelites, but nevertheless, they go over there. Their two sons marry Moabite women. And then Naomi's husband and the two sons die. Naomi returns to Bethlehem with one of her daughter-in-laws, Ruth. And when they go back to Bethlehem, there's all sorts of things the town could have been saying. After all, Ruth was a Moabite, an enemy of Israel. She came back with Naomi, who chapter 1 verse 20 is going around saying, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, call me bitter, because God's been bitter with me and I am bitter. The two of them could have been the topic of every negative conversation. But in Bethlehem, they were talking about them in a wonderful way. Note in verses 11 to 12 the gossip that was being said about them. I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. They were talking about all that Ruth had done for Naomi. how she had left her own mother and father and the land of her birth, how she had come to a people whom she did not know. And note, how she had come to the Lord God, under whose wings she had found refuge. The testimony is that they had come to find refuge underneath the Lord's wings. Isn't that a wonderful statement and a beautiful picture? After all, Ruth had said to Naomi, "Your God will be my God." And Ruth had not come to know God in some cold academic way, but rather in a personal way, because under the Lord's wings she had found refuge. What does it mean to find refuge underneath the Lord's wings? Well, let's go through this chapter and see how Ruth was blessed underneath the Lord's wings. And it all starts on the day she goes gleaning and finds guidance. First of all, she finds guidance, verses 1 to 3. Ruth and Naomi, they travelled from Moab to Bethlehem. It seems they have property, somewhere to stay, but they're going to need something to eat. And they travelled back to Bethlehem because the Lord had visited his people. Chapter 1, verse 22 says, Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. So there was food in the fields, which not only meant a harvest for the one who owned the fields, but also for the poor, because that's how God designed it to be. Leviticus 19, verse 9 and 23, verse 22, allow the poor to go and collect the grain that is not harvested, that's left behind. Ruth had learned that. And so verse 2, she says to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Now, this seems a good idea to Naomi, and so Ruth goes. And here she is in this new town of Bethlehem, all these fields around her, so where should she go? Which one ought she to go to? And we're told, verse 3, so she went out and entered a field and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Something led her to that particular field. She didn't know he belonged to Boaz. Perhaps at this point she doesn't even know who Boaz is. Neither would she know that he would be in a position to help her. It's fascinating how the NIV records it by saying, as it turned out. You see, this wasn't some lucky fluke or chance. Rather, the Lord guided her. Under the Lord's wings, Naomi found guidance. Now, we should not be surprised by that, because that's what we read in Scripture. Isaiah 48, verse 17 reads, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Isn't that lovely, that God directs us in the way we should go? That very phrase reminds me of Abraham's servant, who goes on a mission to find a wife for Isaac, and by God's help, he is led to the well. There he meets Rebekah, and the rest, as they say, is history. Since then, how many missionary stories, how many conversions have begun with, as it were, a chance encounter? And it wasn't any of those things. It was God at work. Now, in the midst of this virus, we need guidance. So this morning, there'll be many who'll be turning to their papers, reading their horoscopes, only to discover the full scope of their horror. Instead of going to God and finding underneath his wings that place of guidance. And dear friends at Grace Fellowship Ashford, may you be knowing the Lord's guidance at this time. And for those of you who are really needing it this time, let's take refuge. Just take refuge underneath the Lord's wings and he will guide you. And you'll also discover there not just guidance, but also strength. You'll find guidance and you'll also find strength. So the Lord has clearly led Ruth to the right field. The challenge, or the work, is to go and glean. And at this point, I feel a little bit guilty, because I enjoy reading about Ruth going out into the fields and gleaning, collecting the leftover grain that wasn't collected by the servants. But that was hard work. I have to be honest, I don't think I could have done that. To be bent over for the majority of the day, collecting the grain, then carrying what I've collected, doing so in the heat. A morning in the garden is enough for me, and then I need a cup of tea. Therefore, as we come to these verses, we see how hard she worked, and we take note of that and ask ourselves, is there something more here? As Ruth is collecting the grain in the field, so Boaz comes to talk to his servants, verses 4 and 5. And whilst talking to them, he wants to inquire about Ruth. And he is told, verses 6 and 7, that she is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So she started early in the morning, and except for a brief break, she's continued to work. And there must have been something about the way she worked so diligently that people took notice. How come she could be so productive? Well, one might say, well, she just had the stamina. She was just able to do it. Then verse 17 tells us she kept going until the evening. Alternatively, it could be that as she found herself in the refuge of the Lord's wings, not only did she find guidance, she found it strength. That the Lord was the one who gave her her strength. Just think of others in the scripture that would give a similar testimony. In Psalm 18 and Ruth and verse 1, Ruth's great-grandson, a man by the name of King David, wrote, "I love you, Lord, my strength." Later on in the psalm, he would say, "For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure." Others would testify that the Lord gives strength. In the New Testament, Paul would say, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." I can add my own testimony here. There's been weeks and I've looked at my diary and they are busy but not overly filled, because that's the way I believe a pastor's diary ought to be. And it just happens that week there is an emergency, so there's death, something arises. And of my own strength, I think, how am I going to get through this week? How am I going to do all the preparation? How am I going to deliver all of this? And the Lord himself gives strength. During this time of COVID, many people I've spoken to are talking about how tired they are. I understand that, because nothing is straightforward now. Everything is more complicated. But under the Lord's wings, we can find strength. We can find guidance. We can also, thirdly, find protection. We can also find protection. Ruth had obviously got the eye of the men in the field. She could therefore find herself in a very vulnerable position. Yet the Lord provided through a man called Boaz, who said, verses 8 and 9 to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars that I have filled." Boaz is offering her protection. If she stays in the field, the men will not harm her. And although it's not in the command given, I can imagine the same men would also defend her. That if they saw some stranger coming into their field and making their way towards Ruth, they would follow on, these big, butch, burly men, and they would deal with anyone who would trouble Ruth. And remember, this may be Bethlehem, but it's not always, as the carol says, the little town of Bethlehem, how still we see you lie. There were dangers here. Look what Naomi says in verse 22. "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." Some translations have assaulted. And so she delight our hearts that underneath God's wings we are protected. We find refuge. Moses testified to this. When the Israelites had been in the wilderness for 40 years, he commented in Deuteronomy 32, verses 11 and 12, "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, it spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft, the Lord alone led them. No foreign god was with him." And at this time, we need protection. And where are we going to find it? Underneath the Lord's wings, with strength, with guidance, with protection, and finally, provision. Finally, provision. Now, already, Ruth and Naomi have seen something of God's provision. After all, it was the Lord who brought food to Bethlehem, Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. It was the Lord who had given the gleaning rights to the poor, Leviticus 23, 22. Already Ruth was benefiting from God's provision, yet under his wings there would be more. After Ruth hears who Ruth is and meets with her, he says, verse 9, "I've told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and drink from the water jars that the men have filled." Gleaning must be such thirsty work. And there's not an abundance of drinking water in the fields. But the men would have provided water for themselves, and Ruth, well, go and help yourself. We need water, don't we? Now she's got an abundant supply of it. Verse 14, she's invited to lunch. Okay, it was only a picnic in the field, but look how she was fed. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all that she wanted and had some left over. As a friend of ours would say, Ruth not only had an ample sufficiency, she had a superfluous redundancy. Yes, we talk about God who provides, and that's true, but perhaps we should be talking about the God who provides abundantly. Boaz goes further. He says to his men, verses 15 to 16, "Let her gather among the sheaves, and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some of the stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. Don't forget, Bethlehem has only just recovered from a famine. Food would have been extremely precious and valuable. But Ruth can help herself." She then arrives home. We pick up the story of verses 17 to 18. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten. You see, there is so much that Ruth herself, that Naomi is surprised by this. Not only do they have 22 litres of grain, they have a doggy bag from lunch. It's making Naomi rethink things. The Lord is not bitter towards her. The Lord is Jehovah Jireh, the God who would provide. And he who had provided for his people in the wilderness for 40 years through the manna is now providing in Bethlehem, providing abundantly. This would be Paul's testimony. "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Boaz had seen what Ruth had done for Naomi, but he'd also learned something more. That underneath the Lord's wing, she had found refuge. She had been blessed with guidance, the best field. Blessed with strength, she could work all day. Blessed with protection, she's got her security guards looking after her. She's got provision, she's got ample provision, she's got an abundant provision. What a place to be, simply underneath the Lord's wings. Today at Grace Church Fellowship Ashford, we find ourselves in a very different position to Ruth. We live in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of England, and there is an abundance for us. We have home, we have work, we have pensions. So what's the lesson for us? Well, whether we are a Moabite woman, a man of Kent, or even a Kentish man, we are, first of all, those who are sinners. We have rebelled against God, his word, and his ways, and we need guidance to be reconciled to God. We need strength in meeting a holy God. We need protection from sin and death and hell. We need provision. We need new life. We need forgiveness. We need love. We need kindness. And we find all those things where Ruth did, in God. And as we come to the foot of the cross, as we are guided there, so we see a Saviour who died to protect us for these things and to provide for us forgiveness and reconciliation. He who exchanged his righteousness for our unrighteousness, that we might come to God and find in him a refuge underneath his wings. Have we found that refuge? Do we know of the joy of salvation? Or this morning, may we be guided to the Saviour. May we find the strength to turn to him and find protection from our sins and provision in the fullness of life. Then these days are difficult days. As Christians, we find ourselves in need of guidance. What should we do? We need strength in these difficult days. We need protection. We need the Lord's provision. And where do we find these things? Underneath the Lord's wings. And using that ornithological picture, and that's a good word, and I'm not going to try and say it again. Using that picture, I think there's this tendency that we want to be those young birds. And we want to fly off and do so many things. And yet there are times when the Lord just calls us to shelter under his wings. And I would just encourage us all this morning to find their refuge underneath his wings. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love and your wonderful goodness to us. That even though we are sinners, even though we are those that have pulled away from you, rebelled against you, you provide for us in your Son a Saviour and a shelter. May all of us listening to this ministry not only have found a Saviour in Christ, may we also have found a shelter underneath the Lord's wing. Oh, Father, bless us, we pray. We ask it in your name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this ministry today. And let me just leave you with a verse from Psalm 36, written by David, Ruth's great-grandson. And he said, "How precious is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delight."